Apple announced a flurry of new products yesterday, from a brand new iMac to upgraded iPad Pros. But I wanted to dig into something that got a little bit less attention yesterday, and that's the new Apple TV 4K remote control. I'm Roger Chang, and this is your Daily Charge. Here with me to talk about this new remote and to bring us insights into another new remote from Roku is Eli Blumenthal. Welcome, Eli.
Thank you for having me.
So first of all, what upgrades did we get with this new Apple TV 4K remote?
Well, this remote was a long overdue refresh. They changed the color, first and foremost. It's now a much easier to find silver, kind of like the older Apple remotes. There's a new directional pad as opposed to just relying solely on gestures, which is what the old or most recent Apple TV remote had. There's a new power button, and the Siri button, instead of being on the front of the remote, is now relegated to the side.
Got it. So, yeah, I know you haven't had a chance to use it. This was just announced yesterday in the presentation. But what are your early gut impressions of this thing?
As I said before, long overdue. The original Apple TV, or sorry, not the original Apple TV, but the most recent Apple TV remote had a bevy of issues for a lot of people. It was very slippery. It's small. It was easy to lose inside a couch. I don't know, as you mentioned, I haven't had a chance to use it yet. This could still be all of those things, but on the surface, it looks like it's a lot easier to use, especially because it has that directional pad as opposed to just using a trackpad. And the fact that it has a power button for turning on the TV is also easier. You could do that before on the Apple TV, but now that there's a dedicated button, it's just a step easier as opposed to having to find the right button on the original.
Right. Our colleague David Katzmeier says that the remote control is the biggest upgrade to this Apple TV 4K box. In terms of size, you mentioned the sort of, it was easy to lose that original controller. Like, do you get an impression that the upgrades, the changes or improvements made to this new one will solve some of those annoying issues?
It looks like it's a little bigger, which should be easier to hold and also easier to find. And the fact that it's this aluminum looking silver all around, as opposed to just on the back with the previous remote having an all black front, or largely all black front, made it easy to lose. This hopefully will be more noticeable. I do wish, however, that they put in that U1 chip, that the ultra wideband chip, so you could find it with the same way you could find AirTags. I wish they did that, but it doesn't seem like, at least right now, it's in there.
Oh yeah, that would make a lot of sense. I know it's not just the Apple TV remote control. I think I tend to lose all my remote controls all the time, and I would love a smarter way to actually be able to locate them rather than yell at my kids to find it, which has been my optimal route. Speaking of other remote controls, you had a chance to review the new Roku remote. So how's that been to use?
So yeah, Roku came out with a new remote called the Voice Remote Pro. It's a $30 add-on accessory. And I should mention that the Apple TV remote, if you already have an Apple TV HD or an Apple TV 4K, you could buy the new remote without buying the new box. It's $60.
Wow.
Roku's new remote is $30.
Right.
Yeah, $60 for a remote. It's more expensive than buying a new Roku or Google Chromecast or Amazon Fire TV 4K. But that's a discussion for another time. The Roku remote, it does some things really well. It has a remote finder feature. So you could say, I'm going to mute it here so it doesn't go off. But you could say, hey, Roku, find my remote, and it'll start pinging within a 12-foot area. It's got this midfield microphone. It'll start pinging itself so you could find it if it's lost inside a cushion or under the couch or wherever you possibly could have left the remote. That's a great feature. I wish everything had that. It could be a real game changer. It's got some customizable controls. That midfield microphone does allow for other tasks. You could say, hey, Roku, and have the TV turn on. But I found it to be a little limited as far as what you could do. Roku's assistant is not anywhere close to as strong as the Google assistant or Amazon's virtual assistant, who I will not name for fear of turning on devices.
Right. And talk about what it can do, because yeah, you did mention that it has an assistant. It's not quite as smart as some of those other ones, but what can it actually enable you? You mentioned turning on the TV. Any other features or capabilities that are noteworthy?
You can have it say, hey, Roku, play WandaVision, and it will open up Disney Plus and start playing WandaVision. Though you may have to, depending on your profile setup, you may have to say, hey, Roku, okay, to just select a profile if you have a family setup like I do. But the fact that you could do that is a nifty feature. not game changing, but a nice feature. Google's been able to, I believe, do that. Again, Amazon, these smart assistants, even Siri on Apple TV, you could have it open up apps or do searches for you. I wish the Roku Assistant was able to do some of these more advanced tricks, as I mentioned. So, like, for example, Google Assistant, you could say, play ESPN on YouTube TV, and it will open up your live TV app and start playing. I couldn't do that with Roku. But you could also have it switch, if you have Roku TV, switch inputs. You could say, you know, open up Xbox or PlayStation, and it'll switch to those inputs automatically. Again, not game-changing stuff, but little steps that may make your day-to-day a little bit easier.
So ultimately, is it worth spending that extra $30 to upgrade your remote control for Roku?
If you lose your remote often, like a lot of people do, that Hey Roku feature is great. It also, I should mention, is rechargeable. The first Roku to have that, and albeit it uses a micro USB cable, not USB-C. USB-C is the new standard, of course, that pretty much everything is switching to that's not an Apple device, so laptops, tablets. The fact that it's using micro USB is a real bummer because it's 2021 and that's where things are going, and having to keep this cable around. Because Roku says you should be able to get, I believe, a couple months charge on a single charge. Or a couple months of battery on a single charge. The fact that you have to keep this cable around just for seemingly this device is a bit frustrating. Again, just because the solution and the successor are so readily available, would have been great if that had USB-C, but it is rechargeable. So if you find yourself replacing your AA batteries in your Roku remote, another incentive. But if you're looking for just something that's going to make this a much better assistant, you're going to still have to wait a little bit longer.
Got it. And what does it say that we got two pretty significant remote control upgrades over the last few weeks between Roku and Apple? Is this a new wave of remote controls that we can expect to see from the streaming services, or is this just a fluke?
It does seem interesting that the timing of the last 2 weeks, you had Roku's big announcement and their big new remote, and now Apple making a big deal about their remote in their virtual event. It does seem interesting, and it'll be interesting to see what Amazon and Google are doing, if they have new remotes planned. Amazon gave its remote a mini refresh by adding some quick shortcuts, which to apps like Netflix, etc., to the bottom of its remote, similar to what Roku's been doing for years. That's not as big of a step as what Roku did with the rechargeable battery and the Hey Roku voice assistant. But they are dabbling in that. Google's actually been the one that's been the most quiet. But of course, last year when they came out with the Chromecast with Google TV, it was the first Chromecast they made that has a dedicated remote. So it seems like people are really adapting to the needs of what, or rather companies are adapting to the needs of what people want as far as their streaming.
Right. And when you look at these remote controls, I mean, we're a long way off from the days of universal remotes or even those smart TV remotes, with most of these companies going the minimalist route. What other features do you want to see incorporated into these remotes? I mean, I think that the Find My Remote feature that you talked about with Roku, absolutely brilliant. What other features or bells and whistles would you like to see added?
Well, as I mentioned, with the Apple remote specifically, that U1 chip, I want to be able to find these things. And finding a remote, I think, is the biggest thing, because all of these devices do a solid enough job controlling power, getting you to apps quickly, summoning a voice assistant. The fact that Roku now has a rechargeable one is nice. Apple's remotes have been rechargeable for a while. It's still through Lightning, which admittedly is a more available, if you're in the Apple world and you're getting an Apple TV, you probably have an iPhone. You probably have a Lightning cable around. It's not as big of a deal as micro USB. But yeah, it's really, when it comes to my wish list for a remote, it's pretty simple. I want it to be easy to use and I want it to be easy to find. And the fact that Roku is the only one that has this summoning feature is encouraging that it's finally coming out onto the remotes themselves, and something I hope that Amazon, Apple, and Google copy in the not too distant future, because it really could be a big deal for a lot of people. Because as you mentioned, how many times have you lost the remote and had to tell your kids to go find it?
too many times. I feel like it's a weekly occurrence for me. And so, yeah, like when you talked about the ability to like have the Roku signal where it is, it's, yeah, that sounds amazing. Any general advice for folks looking at these streaming boxes? I know we talked about Roku and Apple TV a lot. Obviously, they've got some fresh news there, but obviously Amazon and Google offer very attractive options. Just generally speaking, when you're looking at cutting the cord and looking at different streaming services, and I asked David Katzmeyer this last week, but I want to ask you as well, what should you consider? What factors should you think about when choosing between these different options?
Think about price. That's obviously probably for a lot of people, the first and sometimes only option or only consideration. Apple's new Apple TV 4K still starts at $179. It's definitely in the premium category here. It has other features. All these devices can do a pretty good job of streaming all the major services you want, whether that's Netflix or Disney Plus or Hulu or Sling TV, YouTube TV, HBO Max. They all can do that. Most of them have 4K options as well that let you stream in the highest quality, some with Dolby Vision and Dolby Atmos. So when it comes to like the basics of streaming, you really can't go wrong. It's when you start thinking about what else you might want to do. So Apple TV is more expensive. It's $179, but you also can use Apple Fitness Plus if you subscribe to that, and Apple Arcade for playing games on your TV if you subscribe to that. And it'll be interesting to see what Apple does now that they put a more powerful processor inside and have been adding more games to their arcade platform, notably NBA 2K21. They recently got a Apple Arcade edition of that popular basketball game. They have their big developer conference coming up in early June. Do they finally start talking more about the Apple TV as more than just a streaming box, as a game console? We'll see. It'll be interesting to see what they do there. Google has been experimenting with Stadia. So for gaming, if you don't want to go for an Xbox or a PlayStation or a Nintendo Switch, a lot of these devices are starting to do more. The Chromecast of Google TV is getting Stadia support at some point. Amazon's Fire TVs can use their Luna, their gaming platform, which is still in its early stages. Roku doesn't really have a game platform anymore, but they have a very simple interface. So it's really a handful of things if we're going to just distill it down. It's price. It's what you want to do with it. And then what kind of interface you prefer. The same way you choose between an Android or an iPhone or a Mac or a PC. It's, do you like the tile layout that Roku does? That's simple. Do you want some of the extra customization features that Amazon or Google offer? Or if you want some of the extra services that Apple offer, if you're making these decisions.
Great. It's a lot of factors to consider. Eli, thanks for breaking that all down. You can check out all of our Apple and Roku coverage on CNET.com. If you have any questions, hit us up on Twitter at The Daily Charge or sign up for direct text messages from me by heading to cnet.co/dailycharge. And if you liked what you heard, please rate and subscribe to the podcast. It really helps us out. For The Daily Charge, I'm Roger Chang. Thanks for listening.